Hey, what's happening? What's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. In the last few episodes, we talked about some of the different shark species, and I will talk about them some more down the road. But today, I'd like to tackle an issue that I come across once in a while when working on bite wounds. I'm currently working on an older case and felt we should tackle a bite issue here, and it's the bite motivation I summarize as pattern compensation. I know you can't make much sense with this term pattern compensation, except that something is compensated. What it means in broad terms is that the shark bites more than once, and by doing so, reacts to a person's action and compensates. Let's look at the general scenario where you have a person with two bites, one rather superficial in a leg area and the second one in the hand area. First, you would have to figure out the chronology, what was first, leg or hand. Whenever this happens, it's pretty clear, with a few exceptions, it's always the hand bite that comes last. How come? Well, picture this. The shark approaches and bites the leg of a person for whatever reason, and let's go right away. The person, who most likely has not seen the shark approaching, will now react to the shark that just bit. And what is the likely reaction? Well, correct, the person either tries to push the shark away or hits it on the snout. In both cases, the hand will be seen as a threat by the shark, and so the shark bites for a second time to fend it off or to immobilize this threat. Since the second bite is always a defensive bite, the wound is mostly very compact, since the person can't pull the hand out of the shark's mouth due to the pressure applied, so you won't see any secondary wound that can occur from pulling the injured body part out of the shark's mouth. Of course, you could also have the reverse chronology, which is, however, rather rare. The person gets bitten in the hand and tries to then get away as quick as possible by, for example, kicking the shark at the same time. The second bite would then be the leg wound, of course. In such cases, the second wound would likely show some gashes due to the leg's motions. Although I just mentioned that the second wound would be tighter, I agree, but the leg is a very powerful limb, so chances are you can still pull the leg slightly out of the shark's mouth. Most shark bites are of exploratory nature, when the shark never puts full pressure on. Since there is the possibility that the person, the unknown object in the shark's world, acts in a dangerous manner, jeopardizing the safety of the shark, thus a more or less superficial bite is applied to get a first idea about the object, but making the shark also able to get to let go right away if necessary. So that would be the pattern compensating. So you may ask, well, you know, it's a rare thing. Most of the time when you see a headline on the news or in a magazine, there is a superficial bite to the person, that's that. So how often does it happen that the shark bites more than one time? Should more than one bite be visible, targeting more than one body part, then pattern compensating is the likely reason. And I would say, overall, we have it about 5 to 10 times a year. When mentioning it this way, then there must be a bite motivation also that can inflict more than one bite that focuses on the same area, right? Because right now, pattern compensation were two areas. That is correct. And these bites occur most of the time due to competition. Whenever sharks fight for the same food source, it can happen that they bite each other to force the other to back off or then try to steal the food from the other shark, which we call kleptoparasitism. When trying to steal food from another shark, I've seen plenty of times that the shark goes after the shark with the food, hits the other one several times with superficial bites at the same body spot. Of course, this is not really injuring the other animal because the skin is very, very tough. So for me, it then looks as if a person would shake another one to get an answer out of the other person. So I hope you understand where I'm going with this. So instead of shaking, of course, the shark bites the other one in quick order because it cannot really shake the other shark. And what remains is then an overlapping bite pattern. Wound analysis is not always easy, especially when you have jaws like the ones of a sand tiger. These teeth are not made for gouging. Gouging happens when a shark bites into an object and then starts to shake its head back and forth and rips out a piece of flesh. That's the gouging part. The upper teeth, then most of the time when you have gouging, need a triangular shaped form which can saw and so bites pieces out of an object. Again, sand tigers can't really do this since their teeth, upper and lower jaw, are slender and made for grabbing, piercing, and holding, and then swallowing it whole. As just mentioned, I'm currently working on a rather old case where a biologist worked in an aquarium, got bitten by a shark, by a sand tiger, of course, while a biopsy was taken from the animal. They placed the shark in a holding tank, decided not to put it under, but just stroke its snout like some form of tonic immobility. The shark startled because the vet taking the biopsy from the tail accidentally pushed the shark forward and it then bit the person stroking the snout. The weird thing here is that I found two full bites and two partials all in the calf region. So there we have more or less around four bites. Here I can assume that neither pattern compensation nor competition was the motivation. So it rather looks like a shark started to freak and bit because it was trapped. That it bit several times is likely due to the narrow space and the victim's leg remaining in the shark's grasp. So here, again, it's not a competition, it's not pattern compensation. Here it's just a shark freaking out, trying to get away, and of course is affected by the leg right in its face. So again, that it bit several times is likely due to also the narrow space and again the leg remaining in the shark's grasp. Of course, I still have to talk to the person how she saw the whole situation, but considering that the bites are all in a calf area, tells me that at the time of the incident she did not have her eyes on the shark, which is kind of weird because that's what it was all about. Her job was to be stoke the shark's snout and calm it down. Anyway, let's go back to pattern compensation. Whenever this occurs, the motivation likely changes, except should the shark be trapped and tries to get away but remains unsuccessful, then it can happen that the bites have the same motivation. But normally, the motivations change should there be more than one location, of course, a minimum of two bites. This is often the case among surfers, where we can often see one bite targets the board, the other one the person. Here we have to highlight something, that there should never be a difference made between the surfboard and the human body, so it is most likely that the shark sees both as a unit. That is important when analyzing a surf incident. In earlier years, a differentiation was made between a surfboard and a person, and should only the board have been bitten, the incident was labeled as no injury. But such is incorrect. Board damage does equal a wound, since the shark sees surfer and boards as a unit, and likely does not make a difference, at least initially, between animate and inanimate, live person and the board. Of course, you must have a comparison sheet ready that allows to compare the two forms of damage with regards to different motivations. When I published a mistaken identity paper that clearly showed that there is no mistake from the shark side, I created such a sheet. If you like to get this sheet, drop me a line and I can send it to you, or I can send you the entire paper, Why Mistaken Identity in White Sharks Does Not Exist, meaning the shark understands that the surfer is not a seal. What the shark does not know, of course, is what the person is. So most of the time we have very superficial damage to the person or the board. And once you see the board damages and personal wounds is equal, a surf incident analysis is much simpler, so is the chronology, of course, and you will be always, or nearly always, able to say right away what came first, bite on the person or damage on the board. Okay, I just want to make sure one thing with that sheet that I mentioned. Of course, there's a severity index as well. So, for example, if you have a very severe injury, level 5, then of course you have the same injury type on the board as well. So I just want to make sure you understand the comparison is actually the severity between a wound and the same intention on or intensity on the board. Okay, I hope you get a little idea what pattern compensation is and how it happens when there are more than two bytes, the same location or different locations. So it all comes down to chronology and understanding how a scenario developed. That's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day, and if you meet a shark out there, especially one that gets a little too close, have fun with it, enjoy the moment, and remember, it's a privilege to be among them.